In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, Our Lady, the divine indwelling. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So we're in the middle of volume 17, 5-4, 1925, and this is the key to the divine will. If you understand volume 17, May 4th, 1925, you'll understand why Jesus is calling you to live in the divine will. This is the pivotal point. Once you understand this, everything is easy. So what does he say? He says to Louisa, your mission is the mission of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is manifesting to you this divine secrets, the prophecy of the divine will. These gifts will make all those souls who read them, giving themselves to knowing how much good the Supreme Will contains, to know the divine will, to love the divine will, and to let the divine will reign. He says, it will form its life in you. That's the life of God. Not doing the will of God like the saints, but living in the will of God. So he says, therefore, be attentive, because this is about placing in safety that eternal divine will with so much love wants to dwell in souls. But it wants to be known. It does not want to be like a stranger. But it says it wants to give its goods and to become the life of each person, of each soul. However, it wants its rights. It wants its place of honor. It wants the human will to put aside the only enemy for itself and man, and that is the human will. See, he says, I want the human will to be put aside. That the human will is the only enemy for God and man. The mission of my divine will was the purpose of the creation of mankind. My divinity did not depart from heaven, from its throne, while my divine will not only departed, but descended into all created things and formed its life in them. But while all things recognize me, all creation recognizes God, and I, God, dwell in them with majesty and decorum, mankind alone drove me away. Mankind alone drove Jesus away. And now he's saying, I want you to let me enter into you again, to be your life, your love, your light. I want you to begin to do this. And that's why another thing St. Padre Pio said was, the world and the church will focus on Louisa Picaretta in the third millennium. The world and the church will focus on Louisa Picaretta in the third millennium. God, for some strange reason, has given us this gift before the world and the church. And he's asking us, would you be willing to begin to live this life? Volume 19, 527, 1926. Now, this triumph of the unity of the Supreme Will, the center of its dwelling place, of its throne, is the center of the sacrosanct Trinity. Listen to what Jesus is saying. The triumph of the unity of the Supreme Will of God, the center of the dwelling place, the center of its throne, the center of the sanctifying Trinity, is the triumph of the divine will on earth in us as the saints possess it in heaven. So Jesus says this, this divine center starts its most refulgent light, which invests the whole celestial fatherland. It invests all the saints, it invests all the angels, and that are invested by the unity of my divine will, and they all receive its innumerable effects, abdicating them all to itself. It makes of them one single unity with the supreme unity of my divine will. See, it's to enter into God, to participate in God. We can't be happy until we enter heaven on earth. We can't be happy. People look for happiness and they end up in hell. They look for worldly happiness and they end up in hell. Jesus is saying, I want you to begin to live this abundant life. He says this so clearly to us. I want you to enter into God, where you begin, where you're returning to the womb of the Father. I think we gave a talk on that in August. Returning to the womb of the Father. Oh yeah, we did a talk in August, and we did a talk on the unit returning to the womb in September. And in November, we're giving the third part of that talk. And the third part is the best. To return to the womb of the Father. This is what it means. To return back to the supreme unity of God's will. To live with God. How can you be upset? The only way you could be upset is if you're not reading. If you're reading, there's nothing to worry about. As you read, every time you read, Jesus fills you with new, he says this to Louisa, the secrets of the Holy Spirit, the treasures of the Holy Spirit. There's no misery in this. Volume 19, 8, 12, 19, 26. My daughter, man was created by God with the three powers, the intellect, the memory, and the will. This is so that he might have the links of communication with the divine persons of the sacrosanct Trinity. These were like paths along which to ascend to God, the doors through which to enter, like rooms in which to form the continuous dwelling, the creature for God and God for the creature. These are all the royal paths of both of them, the gold doors which God placed in the depth of the soul, through which the supreme sovereign of the divine majesty might enter, the safe and unshakable room in which God was to have his celestial dwelling. Do you see what this is? Your intellect, we're supposed to understand things with the mind of Christ. That's why we have Holy Mother Church. That's why we have our dogma and doctrine. That's why we have our sacred scripture. To go against the church is not to think with the mind of Christ. Our memory, it's not of what they said about me. It's to remember Jesus. That's why when you pray the Holy Rosary, you're looking at Jesus through the eyes of Mary, the loving eyes of Mary. You're falling more in love with Jesus. What happens is your memory is, what did Jesus do when he was 17 years old? Where was Jesus? What was he talking about? Who was he with? Your whole memory becomes of God. Not of what they said about me, what they did against me. Pity, pity me. Our God loves us, and he wants us to remember him, remember his mother. And then finally, intellect, memory, and will. Our human will gives us all our trouble. I don't want to live in my human will. Lord, I want to live in your most holy divine will. I want to use my free will to choose you and no longer to be miserable. I want you to be my God, my Lord, my Savior, my Master, my King. I want nothing else to be one with you, Lord God Almighty. God says, good. Prove it. So he'll throw something in our way. And you can use the Italian salute if you're driving, or you can... No, it's to say fiat. Fiat, Lord. Okay, thank you, Lord. You're in charge. I trust you. I believe in you. I hope in you. You're my Lord. You're my Savior. You want me to go through this fiat. Okay, let it be done as you say. You have to remember we are at war. We're at war. I mean, one of the things I have in my room is two swords on the wall. I just got this long spear. It's 14 feet long. It's magnificent. That's the next thing that's going on my wall. I'm getting ready. It's just to remind me. Without some of you, why do you have those swords on your wall? We're at war. Don't you understand that? We're fighting. I mean, it's not to hurt anybody, but you got to remember when things go wrong, it's the evil one. Now, the great thing about the divine will is this: as you enter the divine will, what happens at that point is the devil does not want to deal with you. Why? It's Jesus and Mary there through little Louisa. They don't want to get near Jesus and Mary. You know, if the devil, every time he gets near a lady, she steps on his head. And when Jesus died on the cross, he conquered the evil one. So they don't want to even get near. And then Jesus says, let them try to harm you, Jesus says to Louisa. They will face the fires of heaven. See, the devil, you know, the fire that's coming, this great fire, the first purification was the flood. The second purification was Jesus washing us clean with his precious blood. The third purification that's coming is fire from heaven. Are you scared? No, because it's the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. It's the love of Jesus and Mary. What's the love of Jesus and Mary? It's the divine will in Louisa. That's what's coming. Those that hate Jesus and Mary, it's going to be wailing and grinding of teeth. Those that love Jesus and Mary, it's going to be ecstasy. That's why Our Lady said, it's going to be good for some, it's going to be bad for most. What's like I said, this new day. This new day is good for some, but it's going to be bad for most. I'm rejoicing in it because the kingdom's coming. But for many, many people, it's going to be horrible. And they're going to say, how can you be happy about this? Hey, the kingdom's coming. If you love Jesus and Mary, this is wonderful. If you don't love Jesus and Mary, well, you know, you're going to wail and grind your teeth for a lifetime. See, that's what God's waiting for. He's waiting for us to enter into this. So he says this. These are the royal paths, both of them the gold doors which God placed in the depth of the soul, through which the supreme sovereignty of the divine majesty might enter. It's the safe and unshakable room in which God was to have his celestial dwelling. That's in us. Now, in order to be able to form its kingdom in the innermost place of the soul, he says, my most holy divine will wants to find these three powers, the intellect, memory, and will, given to the creature to raise her to the likeness of God. That's why I'm saying, your intellect, you have to begin to see things from a divine perspective. You have to begin to see things with the eye of God. You have to. Everything is yes. Everything is fiat. Everything is thank you. Everything is praise you. Everything is I love you. Everything is I glorify you. Everything is I worship you. Your focus is God. Your intellect, your memory, it's not of me, but Jesus. What were you doing in Egypt? Jesus. What were you thinking in Bethlehem? Jesus. What were you doing with Joseph in Nazareth? Your whole life becomes focused on Jesus through Mary. He says that this is what he wants. And then your will. I don't want to live in my human will anymore. I'm tired of going to confession. I'm tired of living this way. I want to live in your most holy divine. You've got to tell this to Jesus. I want to live in your most holy divine will, never to be separated from you for even slightly. Now, to be able to form this kingdom in the innermost place of the soul, my divine will wants to find these three powers given to the creature to raise her to the likeness of God, in order with the Father, with the Son, and with the Holy Spirit. Vine 23:1-6, 19:28. My daughter, my divine will is immense. As it issued the creatures to the light of the day, as God created man, they remained in my divine will like many little dwellings formed in it, but in which by right my volition was to have the regime and the carrying out of its life within each of these little dwellings. But while out of its goodness and generosity it gave the space and everything that was needed in order to form these little dwellings within itself, the creatures, this is Adam and Eve, with horrible ingratitude, do not want to surrender to the right to let my divine will dwell within them. And with so many dwellings, it allowed to be formed within itself for as many as there are creatures. Now this is all of Adam's children. It has the sorrow of remaining without dwelling because they do not let it enter to dwell within them. Now he says, it happens to my divine will, as would happen to someone who wanted to form many dwellings in the sea or in the light of the sun. While the sea and the light of the sun gave them the space to form these dwellings within them, they did not want to let either the water or the light of the sun have primacy in these dwellings, nor give them the field to dwell in order to hold their first place of regime. If the sea and the light had reason, they would feel such sorrow that the sea would infest these dwellings with its waves, knocking them down. It would undo them and bury them in its bosom, and the light of the sun would burn them to ashes with its heat, so as to get rid of these unworthy, ungrateful dwellings which had denied its entrance. Yet neither the sea nor the sun has given them life, but only space. On the other hand, my divine will has given life and space within these dwellings of the creatures of us, because there was not one point in which it is not present, nor life which does not come from the divine will. So God wants to fill us with himself. And all we do is deny him. What does he want to fill us with it? He wants to get rid of the worry, the fear, the anxiety, the complaints, the negativity, and the sin. He's saying, stop this. I don't want this filled with misery. I want it to be filled with peace and joy and happiness. I want it to be filled with fiat. And as we, as Jesus said to Louisa, when I hear the soul say fiat, he says, God goes into ecstasy. How can God go into ecstasy with a soul saying fiat? That's God. Fiat. Let there be that light. Fiat lux. And then fiat mihi of the Blessed Mother in the incarnation took place. And the fiat voluntas tuum, may your kingdom come and reign on earth as it does in heaven. It's a whole new beginning. God goes into ecstasy. So when we learn to say fiat in all situations, it's wonderful. It's beautiful. And the more that you enter into this, you become more like the Blessed Mother. How many things did she say that is recorded in Scripture? Do whatever he tells you. She's silent. A lot of people love to talk. Me, 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 me. Me, 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 and I did this and I did that, and me, me, me. It's a waste of time. It should be Jesus, 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 Jesus. He, him, 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 him. Mary was silent. She treasured all these things in her heart. See, we are going to become more like the Blessed Mother. It's not about us, we're nothing. It's about God. It's about Jesus. It's about Mary. What God has given to little Louisa. Our whole life changes. And that's what God's waiting for. He's waiting for us to say, yes, yes. Okay. Volume 25 is where we are. 12:8:28. Okay, great. It can be said that the Church gave the Blessed Mother human honors, not divine honors. That's one of the things. We love Our Lady. Everyone should have a statue of Our Lady inside and outside of our house. Every one of us should have Our Lady crowned as Queen of Heaven and Earth. Everybody who comes to your house should know that you love the Blessed Mother. It can be said that the Church gave the Blessed Mother human honors. Those are only human honors, not divine honors, which Our Lady justly deserves, because the divine will had a continuous life in the Blessed Mother. And this was a sorrow for me, Jesus, and for the Blessed Mother, because neither did they receive from my Church the honors of a divine will dwelling in the Queen of Heaven. Nor did she receive the honors due to the Blessed Mother, because she gave her within herself the place in which to form the life of the Supreme Fiat. This is why she is veiled. This is going to be lifted. We're going to see who the Blessed Mother is. Why here of all places? Why? God has great plans for the United States. Let me clue you. Great plans. And he needs us to go to his mother. He needs us to get closer to him through little Louisa. Everything's hidden at this point. Everything's hidden. We live peaceful, joyful, happy lives because we've got a glimpse of what God is going to do. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing. And what we're going to understand is how much God loves us. He already said that. He said the United States is a little bit like heaven. All nations under God. So what's happening in the United States is a fight to the death. To destroy Jesus. That's what they want to do. And with this great gift of the divine will, the gates of hell are not going to even prevail against his church, against his nation, under God. This is a great time to be alive. Nothing to be afraid of, nothing to fear, but to be courageous. Courage, Jesus keeps on saying. Volume 26, 8:7, 1929. And besides, is it perhaps not my humanity that dwells in you continuously? This is talking to Louisa. Is it not perhaps my holy humanity that dwells within you continuously? And that's what you want. Jesus, gaze in my gazing. Jesus, listen in my listening. Jesus, speak in my speaking. Jesus, walk in my walking. And gives you such strength of grace for wanting to live only of my divine will, and makes you feel such peace and such happiness as to eclipse your miserable human will. That's what God's doing. We have to understand, it is our miserable human will that's going on. We got to stop it. He says, in a way that itself feels happy to live as though without life under the empire of my most holy divine will. Therefore, what I, God, need is that they know the knowledges about my divine fiat, and the rest will come by itself. What does that mean? Read every day. Learn every day. Listen to Jesus every day. Especially if you read the calendar. I need that you know these knowledges. When you're miserable, it's because you're not reading. How can you be miserable listening to Jesus? He's speaking to you. He says, I will stand right beside you to touch your mind, that you will understand this, and I will touch your heart to love it. The rest will come by itself. We live with such trust, such confidence in God, that it doesn't matter what we have to go through. It's fiat. Yes, Lord, let it be done to me as you say. It's funny, you know, my family says about me, they say, well, he's always smiling because there's nobody that's bothering him. Yeah, that's a good one. It's the divine will. I love the divine will. Life is fun. Life is joy-filled. It's the only thing that's serious is Jesus. Jesus is everything to us. He wants us to be little children, to be filled with peace, joy, and happiness. Again, nothing should bother you. I mean, it doesn't matter. What should be filled within your heart and your mind and your soul is Jesus. That's what he's waiting for. He says this over and over again. Volumes 12:3, 1927. Let's see. On the other hand, the sanctity founded in my Son, my divine will is Son. Okay, it is up high. The earth has nothing to do with the sun, nor does the water need to nourish its sun. It draws its nourishment directly from God. It is the continuous motion of light. It produces and nourishes all the virtues in a divine manner. The human satisfactions, even holy vainglory and self-esteem, have lost the way, nor do they have any reason to exist. Now this is what Jesus wants you to say. There's no reason for worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity to exist in you. There's no reason. Because the souls linked to Louisa feel vividly the divine will that does everything in them, and they feel the divine gratitude because this divine Son of the divine will lowers itself, dwells within them, and nourishes them with its light, and makes them undergo its transformation to form one single light with this divine fiat. There's no reason for anything other than God to reign in us. See, when you receive Holy Communion, Jesus is there for 15 minutes until the host dissolves. And Louisa would say to Jesus, Jesus, someday I won't be able to go to Mass. And he goes, that's true. She goes, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? He says, do you want to receive me in a mystical way, a real presence in a mystical way for 15 minutes? Or do you want to receive me in a divine way, a real way, forever? And she says, well, the second one, forever. And God goes, good, because that's what I'm doing. See, there will be a time that you probably won't be able to go to church. Again, I've never missed the Mass. I've never been late for Mass. I don't know why. No, I'm okay. But I thank God for being a priest. I don't know what I would do if I had to travel to find Masses. Oh my, especially what's happening today. The one parish that I'm in, the pastor, there's two guys, they have seven parishes. So every day there's a different Mass at a different time. Nobody knows what Mass is. I mean, that's a terrible sorrow. I just thank God that I can have Mass every day. But it's what the Lord is doing is he's asking us to enter into a life with him, which will be a continuous life of Jesus within us. I remember when I was talking to Cardinal Burke, and I said to him, I was trying to get his attention, so I grabbed this best thing I could, and I said, Jesus says that the divine will is greater than the Holy Eucharist. He goes, what? How can God be greater than God? You know? So I said, let me tell you, I read it. He goes, give me that. So I said, well, it's for you. I want you to read. And Jesus says, in the Holy Eucharist, I'm with you for 15 minutes until the host dissolves. In the divine will, it's eternal, never-ending, a perennial communion. And he says, this is what I want for you. And the cardinal goes, oh, okay, all right. he was kind of gruff. But I did wake him up. It was really... But once you get into this, it's to be one with God. This is the main thing. So, okay. On the other hand, sanctity. Okay, I did that. Okay. Human satisfactions, even holy and vainglory, self-esteem, have lost the way. They do not have any reason to exist. The soul linked to Louisa feels vividly the divine will that does everything in them, and they feel the gratitude because this divine son lowers itself. See, we enter into this light of God. And I'll tell you, this is not... what do you want to call it? Holy desires. You actually enter into this. When you enter into this light, there's nothing that you can compare it to this earth. And God wants you to enter into this light. And he is going to do this with souls who want him. It's just really astonishing. So it says here, it says, feeling vividly the divine will that does everything in them, they feel gratitude because this divine son lowers itself and dwells within them, nourishing them with light and makes them undergo the transformation. Transformation is he wants us to become like him, forming one single light with this divine fiat. 27, 1:16, 19:30. Just as you have hands to in order to operate and feet in order to walk, if you want to operate, you do not make use of the feet, but the hands, and all of your being is concurred with the work that you want to do. So it is with our divine will. Our divine being. It is not one part of us which does not concur, but our divine will that takes on the directing and operating role. So think about that. This is what Jesus is asking. Will you let me walk in your walking? Will you let God do what he originally planned? Say, for example, you're a musician. Jesus, play in my plane. Oh, that was the other thing that during I wanted to say that during the homily. Sing, you know, the singing for the responsorial psalm. When you pray the rounds, ask Jesus to lead you in song, to teach you a song. And as you sing, you'll sing a hymn of heaven that you've never sang before. Why? Jesus is singing in your singing. Jesus is praising the Heavenly Father with His divine praise. Jesus is loving His Heavenly Father with His divine love. So the singing, that whole responsorial psalm, let Jesus teach you how to sing. You know, and again, don't do this in a church with other people in it. You know, it's the same thing. You don't go in front of a church and lay prostrate in front of the floor. You know, look at me. Yeah. And if you, in your own room, prostrate yourself and just say, Jesus, you're my Lord, you're my Master, you're my Savior, you're my King, you're my God, you're my all, and I am nothing. I want you to be the Lord of my life. I want you to breathe in my breathing, to beat in my heart beating. I give you permission to reign in me. I want you to possess me, and I want to possess you. It's mutual possession. That's what God's waiting for. He's waiting for us to allow Him to be God. And that's why He says that. He says, our divine will takes on directing and the operating role in the soul, more so since it has its dwelling of our divinity. Its divine life flows within our divine womb, and it is our divine life. And while it goes out of our divine womb, that is, it goes out and it remains, and it carries outside of ourselves the creative virtue of what it wants to do. It directs and preserves. So in the soul, God does this. God is doing this. So when you walk outside, walk barefoot in the grass. Jesus, walk in my walking. You can actually be in paradise. You can actually be in the Garden of Eden. You're honest to goodness. It's not a pious thought. And you actually say to Jesus, take me where you want to take me. It's your, you own me. Do with me as you wish. I remember way back when we looked at Louise's socks. You know, she was in bed for, 70 years, the bishop says. Her socks were ripped up and dirty. And I said, why did they even mend these things for her? Here she's got these filthy socks in there. Jesus used to take her through the universe. Jesus wants to take us through the universe. Don't limit God. Don't say, well, God's not going to do that to me. God says, of course I can't do it to you. There's no fiat. You say to Jesus, let it be done as you say. Well, it's going to take 1,000 years for that to happen to me. God says, absolutely. Jesus, do with me as you wish. Let it be done as quickly, as soon as you wish. See, what God is looking for, can you imagine Our Lady not saying fiat? The incarnation would never have taken place. We have never been redeemed. Think of what Jesus is saying. I want you to share in my divinity. And what is He asking? He's asking us for, say fiat. He says, Vine 28:2, 26, 1930, without a people, without a kingdom cannot be formed. And this is the other reason for making the divine will known, making known that my divine will wants to reign upon earth, that souls may pray. This is pleading with God. Jesus, let it happen soon. Souls may long for it. Jesus, bring this soon. Souls may dispose themselves to form its people, in whose midst it can descend and form its royal palace, its royal dwelling, its royal throne in us. Adam was naked because he lost the divine clothing. Now, when we wear the scapular, we're saying to Jesus, I want, through the Blessed Mother, really, I want the clothing of heaven again. I want to be clothed in divinity again. I don't want to be naked anymore. I want to be one with you, Lord God, clothed in divinity. God says, good. I mean, everything that Jesus is telling us is important for us. We want our royal place. We want God to dwell in us. We want to be clothed in royalty. We want this. Volume 29:8-3, 1931. My daughter, the creation of Adam was at the center in which that our divinity centralized all its goods, that which will rise in the soul. We placed in Adam divine life and divine will, human life and human will. The human life was to serve us as a dwelling, and the two wills fused together were to live a life in common with highest accord. And even more, the human will, listen to this, was to take from our divine will in order to form its acts, and our divine will was to be in continuous act of giving of its own, so that the human will would remain modeled and fully molded in the divine will. There's no I, me, and mine in that. Those are the things that you have to get rid of. I remember this one woman, it was years and years ago, everything was I, and I said, you're not living in the divine will. Oh, yes, I am. I said, well, you got to get rid of the word I. And she goes, well, I. I said, no, you got to get rid of the word I. She goes, well, I. No, you got to get rid of the word. She couldn't talk. Her whole life was about herself. So you see, our life is supposed to be about Jesus. Well, how do I use the word I? You say we from now on. Jesus and I, we. What are we going to have for lunch this morning? Breakfast this morning? Jesus, you want to go for a walk? Jesus, walk in my walking. See, you're not alone anymore. I know many people who lose their spouse say, I'm so lonely. You can't be lonely in the divine will. You're always with Jesus and Mary through Louisa. You got a whole family with you. You're never alone. But the word I, me, my, and mine has to go. It just has to go. God just, can you imagine, you're here, you're in front of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Well, I just said, God goes, what are you doing? Where is the Lord of Lords? Is he sitting on your throne in your heart? Then you should be saying, Lord, what are we going to do today? Even when you're writing, I know this is terrible for teachers to hear, but try not to use the word I. Try to write something without saying I. Why? Jesus is my Savior. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my God. He is the one that I adore, not me. It's very, very important. What happens at that point is you really begin that you're very important. And God is second, third, or maybe a hundredth to you. And that can't be like that. God has to be number one. This is what God is waiting for. So he says, the creation of man was the center in which our divinity centralized all the goods that will ever arise in the soul. And we placed in Adam the divine life and the divine will, the human life and the human will. The human life was to serve God as the dwelling of God. And the two wills fused together were to live a life in common, in highest accord. Even more, the human will was to take from God's holy divine will in order to form its act. From God's was to be the continuous act of giving of its own, so that the human will would remain modeled and molded fully in the divine will. And while Adam would occupy himself with us, we, triune God, would occupy ourselves with nourishing Adam, with preserving our dear dwelling. Not only this, but giving Adam other more beautiful gifts to render Adam happier, to love Adam more, to make ourselves be loved more by Adam. But do you want to know what our most beautiful gifts are, which we, triune God, give to the soul? Manifesting to the soul a knowledge of our supreme being, a truth that belongs to the triune God, a secret of God's. It is the most beautiful gift that we can give to her. Each of these gifts is one more bond that we, triune God, place in the soul and us. Each truth of ours is a property that we place in the soul, and therefore in the soul in whom our divine will reigns. We, triune God, find our divine nourishments, our divine properties, for as much as is possible for a creature, and our dwelling, so that we, triune God, find ourselves in our home, in the heart of man, in our sense, in the midst of our properties. Volume 29, 9:21, 19:31. My delight is to be with the children of my divine will. My God's delight is to be with us. He's not saying bishops and priests. He's not saying cardinals and laity, religious. He's saying, my delight is to be with the little children of my most holy divine will, with us. I, God, shall spend my happy days in you, not in the unhappy night of your human will, because it's gone, but in the full dwelling of my divine light, of the perennial peace of my celestial fatherland. Ah, yes, I, God, shall repeat, I am. Happy in this creature, I, God, hear in this soul the echo of my day spent down here on earth. The echo of my day that I, God, do in my prison in the sacrament of love, all packed with my divine will. So if you want to render God happy, let me find in you the operating virtue of my divine will, which knows how to form for me, God, my beautiful day of most refulgent light, all strewn with ineffable joys and with celestial happinesses. See, it's not just to be good and holy and saintly. That's boring to God. That's all we know. That's what the saints taught us. Now we have Louisa, who's teaching us through Jesus and Mary how to live their life. It's not peace. I mean, being good and holy and saintly is wonderful. But Jesus says, it bores me. I love divinity. I want you to share in my divinity. That's what the priest does every day at Holy Mass. May we share in the divinity of Christ. Do you see what God is doing? Do you see what God is doing? So he says he wants this. Volume 30, 12, 14, 1931. On the other hand, in creating Adam, since we had to hold our divine dwelling place in Adam, and therefore are in our divine will dominating and operating, it did not place an enough. Basta. My grandmother used to say that to me a lot. I always thought she was swearing at me. Enough. Basta. But no, it gave him the virtue of doing multiplicity of works, of steps, of words, but one different from the other. Okay, do you see what God's doing? This is sharing in divinity. Our divine will in mankind would not have remain hampered if it did not give Adam the virtue of doing ever works ever new, of not subjecting to doing only one work, of saying the same word, moving his steps on one path alone. He was created by us, Triune God, as King of creation, because his Creator, the King of Kings, was to dwell within him. It was right that Adam, who formed the dwelling for our divine being, would be the little king who was to dominate the very things created by us, Triune God. And he himself, for love of us, was to have the power to do not just one work, but many new divine works. New divine sciences were to be able to start new things in order to give honor to the one Triune God who dwells inside of him. And remaining with him, the intimate conversation would teach Adam many beautiful things to do and to say. Therefore, our divine love and create in Adam was to love and to form in Adam the kingdom of our divine will. And we have no other aim upon souls, no other sacrifices, but for souls to do our divine will. And this in order to give man the right to be king of himself and of created things to be able to dwell in him with our decorum and honor. It's God's decorum. It's God's honor in us as our citadel, our royal palace that belongs to us, Triune God. Do you see what God's doing? We're not supposed to be miserable. There's no room for that. There's no reason for that. Read what Jesus says. After this, while I was continuing my abandonment, the divine will, my beloved Jesus added, my good daughter, you must know. This is a command from Jesus. You must know that our divine will has its life, its dominion, its dwelling place, its center in our divine being, and it forms one single thing with us and our very life. And from its center, it emits divine rays full of divine life that fills both heaven and earth. Now, for the soul, Luisa, and for those linked to Luisa, who lives in our divine will, their acts are formed in the center of the life of God. That is in our divine being. That's what God has planned for us. That's what God wants for us. So he's given us the way and the how this is going to be accomplished, and that's the book of heaven. Read it, study it, put it into practice. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.